2 Kings 4 is where I'm going to be. Carrying the Torch for Revival is the book that Tom and I collaborated on, and it's back there on his table, and there's another table over here that has a few other books I've written as well. But if you go by the table, the one thing I would like for you to grab is my business card. It has my phone number on it. And if you ever want to email me or text me or get in touch with me or find me on Facebook, I would love to connect. So if you go by my table, I've got some business cards there. If they run out, let me know. I have a few more with me. 2 Kings 4. I want to jump right into this because I don't know if I can cover all this, but I'm the last speaker of the night, so I don't have a time, right? Thank you for it's been a wonderful day, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
A wonderful day. Verse 25. Some backdrop to this. I'm going to cut in here, but the story of the Shunammite woman. Elisha goes and she makes a place for Elisha. God gives her a son. The son dies. She goes to Elisha to tell him about it. And so I'm cutting past all of that. There's about 15 different messages in that I'll skip over. Verse 25. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off, he said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, the Shunammite woman, please run now to meet her. Say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?" And she answered, "It is well." Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me, and he has not told me." So she said, "Did I ask for a son, my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Get yourself ready. Take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him, and if anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So he arose and followed her, and now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, "The child has not awakened." When Elisha came into the house, there was a child lying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. He went up and lay on the child, and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. He stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house, and again went up and stretched himself out on him. And the child sneezed 7 times, opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite woman." So he called her, and when she came into him, he said, "Pick up your son." So she went in, fell at his feet, bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. Now I want to look at this from this standpoint for just a moment. In this story, I'm going to put him into position as God, as the master. Gehazi is the servant, you and me. How many servants of God are here? It doesn't matter what your role is inside, outside of the church. Number one, at the end of the day, before we are any of the fivefold, tenfold, hundredfold, whatever you believe in, we are one thing, and that is his servant. That's the key. And so we're going to look at that from that standpoint, and we find as the Shunammite woman's coming to them, Elisha sees her afar off, and he says, "Go find out what's going on." So Gehazi, the servant, goes to the Shunammite woman and says, "Is everything okay?" And she said, "Everything is well. Everything is well." You know, it's great. Let me sidebar for a minute before I get into the meat of what I want to talk about. As great as we think we are sometimes, anybody ever think they're just great? As great as we think we are sometimes, it's not us that people need to get to.
That's right.
As the servant, our job is to lead people and bring people to Jesus, not bring them to us. But there's a principle here that took place. There's something that happened with Gehazi here before I get into the meat of this that happened. When she said it is all well and then she grabbed a hold of Elisha's feet, Gehazi does something. He tries to push her away. There's a competitive spirit that rose up in him and says, "You can't get to God unless it's through me, sweetheart." Have you seen that in the church lately? People that says, "No, I'm the way." No, Jesus is the way.
Amen.
"I've got the market on the truth." No, Jesus is the truth. And there's a competitive spirit that can rise up, and it happened with Gehazi representing us. He took the woman and he tries to push her away and says, "Don't bother the master. I already asked you if it was okay. You told me it was okay, so therefore don't bother him. I represent him. If you need something, go through me."
Come on.
That's interesting.
Does that ever happen? Do we ever see that happen in the church? Yes. This competitive nature that stirs. Listen, we're all on the same team. Supposedly.
Amen.
You know, and the buzzword a lot that I'm hearing a lot is unity. But you know, a lot of times what a lot of people are pushing for more than unity is uniformity.
Yeah.
That says, I want you to not do it with unity. I want you to do it my way. But what I think God wants to bring into the church is harmony.
Yeah,
harmony trumps unity, because harmony is when everybody's doing their part with the same purpose of exalting the King.
Amen.
When David wrote Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It was on the heels of the people coming to him at Hebron to make him king. He wrote that on the heels of that, when he watched the men of Ephraim and the other tribes coming together with the sole purpose of doing that which they were good at, to bring him together and make him king. That's harmony.
Mm-hmm.
That's the unity that's biblical.
That's good. Yeah.
But the competition that comes into the church that says, wait a minute, if they don't come, that has no place. And I pray that God bring that nonsense down in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
And get us to a place to where we make it about Him and not about us.
Yeah.
I'm doing a year-long series at our church in Illinois. I do a preaching calendar in advance. I'm working on 2015 plan now. But in 2014, I'm in the middle of a year-long series. We're preaching through every miracle in the Gospels. And there's a theme that I've noticed that it talks about, that the people would bring their friends to Jesus to be healed. That's our role. It's not to bring them to us. But a lot of times, what we do, if we're not careful, is when we bring somebody to Jesus, when we get them close to Him, we step in front of Him. And we're in essence trying to bring them to ourselves. And I pray God bring that down. Bring that down. But anyways, that's not even the focus of what I... But he stops. Elisha stops Gehazi. He says, don't interfere. I need to know what this woman's need is. Don't interfere. Gehazi had acted selfishly. He had acted out of line. God corrected him, but just because he had made a mistake didn't mean he became unusable or useless. Listen, there's been talk today about, you know, are you afraid to make mistakes? I tell the church this all the time. I would rather get it wrong trying to do something for God than to get it right doing nothing. Gehazi made a mistake. He got out of line. Elisha, representing God, corrected him and it put him right back into the plans.
Yeah.
Put him right. A lot of times we think, oh no, I blew it. God can't ever use me anymore. God says, no, it's all right. Now that you've been humbled a little bit, you're even more usable to me. And so now the commissioning happens. And here's the commissioning that we read that he gives. Here's what he says to Elisha. Here's what Elisha says to Gehazi. There's five things he says to him. Number one, he says, get yourself ready. Get yourself ready. How many of you have thought before that when God's going to do it, He's just going to zap you from heaven and do all the work? But Tom already talked about it. We got a role to play. Get yourself ready, spiritually, physically, emotionally. In September, God spoke something to my heart that really shook me. He said, do you really feel like you're called to do all these things that you talk about? I'm like, yes, God, I'm called. Woo! I know you're going to do great things. He says, do you think you can handle it? Are you disciplined? Yes, God, I'm disciplined. He says, what about your eating? I'm disciplined, God. You didn't answer my question. What about your health? Are you in shape? Are you healthy? Are you making good choices? Are you indulging yourself? Are you ready physically? Because, son, if I do the things you think I'm going to do, I'll kill you. You can disagree all you want, but I heard God say that to me. Okay. So since September, I've lost 55 pounds. I went from a 38 to a 32 pant, from an extra large to a medium shirt. I can run and jump and dance, and I can preach and not get tired. Hallelujah.
Amen. Wow.
I took him serious when he spoke. Get yourself ready. What's he telling you to do to get yourself ready? What are some things we need to do to prepare ourselves to be fully usable? My prayer often is this: God, make me fully usable and then use me to the full.
Amen.
Get yourself ready. And the second thing he says to him is, now take my staff in your hand. In other words, don't go in your own authority, Gehazi. Amen. That's what you've been doing up to this point. Take my staff in your hand. When we go forth in ministry, if we carry our own strength, our own ability, we're going to fizzle out and die. Listen, I spent too much time trying to make my relationship with God about what I did for Him. Now I let what I do for Him come out of the relationship I have with Him.
Amen.
It's about carrying His mantle, His anointing, His presence. He says, take my staff in your hand. God has put something in each and every one of our hands that's from Him to impact His kingdom. And that's what we're to use. We've been given authority to carry. And our effectiveness is tied to our continuing to operate in authority that comes from Him. As we operate in the authority and the mantle and the staff given to us from Him, we will be effective. As we operate in our own strength, we will find ourselves defective. Get yourself ready. Take my staff. Number three, go! Be on your way. Don't stand in amazement at what God's given you. Hey, you in the Missouri church, see this awesome gift God has given me? Isn't it cool? Isn't this cool? I told our church Wednesday night in our Bible study, I said, a lot of times what we do in the church is we just flaunt our spiritual gifts one to another. You've got miracles, I've got healing, let's have a party. But he says, go. You're ready. You've prepared yourself. I've given you my staff, my authority. Now go and use it. Go and use what God has given you. You know what? Here's one of the things we cried out for years. I've cried out for years until God told me to stop saying it. God, I want more. God, I want more. He says, would you for once use what I've given you so there's room for more?
Amen.
Please? That's a good point, God. Freely you have received, therefore freely keep it to yourself. Therefore freely give. So make yourself ready. Take my staff and go. And number four, do not become distracted. Do not become. Now let me explain this. There's a huge difference between being interruptible and being distracted. Jesus was always interruptible, but He was never distracted. He was always interruptible and reachable to the people, but He never let the people dictate or control what He was doing. And He was never distracted. It's okay to be available. It's actually biblical and godly to be available and make yourself available and be interruptible and for people to be able to get to you. But it's not okay to be distracted. You want to know why I think Peter shadow healed the sick? Because he wasn't trying to have his shadow heal the sick. He was walking out his purpose and it happened. And he didn't get distracted by what was happening. He was focused. You remember when Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem in Mark 10? He said his face like flint, and the people that followed were amazed and afraid. They're like, this guy is serious. But he's on his way to fulfill his destiny. And at the end of Mark 10, there's a man sitting on the road. We call him Bartimaeus. He says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus is far too busy, right? But he stops. And he heals the man. He was interruptible. He still fulfilled his destiny. Still fulfilled his mission. And he didn't get distracted. So he says, take the staff. Go. Don't become distracted. Because when we allow circumstances to distract us from the commissioning that has been placed in our hands, we will never get to the place where life is truly needed. Gehazi was on his way to the home of the Shunammite to lay the staff on the face of the sun. And if he becomes distracted, he will never arrive at the place of his destiny. Fifth thing is this. Number five, he says, lay my staff on the face of your commission. Don't just take the authority God has given you and just show up and stand there. He didn't say, hey, Gehazi, when you get in the room, wave it around. He says, take the staff and lay it on the face. You know what the face represents? The very representation of a person or a thing. The one thing that people will remember most about someone, more than their name, is their face. The face. It's who we are. It's who we are. Listen, it's no accident. I'm on a sidebar, and I don't mean to get weird, but it's no accident that humans are the only ones that mate face to face. Because there's an intimate connection in the face. Because there's something about that. And Gehazi's call and commissioning was to lay the staff, lay the authority, lay the anointing, lay what God had given him on the face of the need. Don't lay it on the backside. Don't lay it on the big toe. Don't lay it in the bed beside him. Lay it on the face. Don't just bring the authority where death exists. Bring the authority to the place where life is evident. When you look at someone's face, you can see life.
Amen.
Or you can see death. When someone is born again, one of the first things you notice is a change in their countenance. Change in their face. Take the authority and lay it where life is represented so that death has to go. So what's Gehazi do? He does everything Elisha says. And guess what happens? Nothing. You ever been there? You ever told God, I've been fully obedient and you let me down?
Amen.
Well, no, come on. Gehazi did everything he was told to do. He got himself ready. He took the staff. He went. He didn't get distracted. He laid it on the face, and the child's still dead. But you know the theme and the number one principle that comes out of that is the obedience of the servant paves the way for the master. God did not call any one of us to be successful. He called us to be faithful and obedient. And the obedience of the servant will always pave the way for the master. And when Elisha shows up, he doesn't come in and say, oh, well, Gehazi, you blew it. Give me the staff back so I can show you how it's done. He didn't say, oh, no, you just ain't got it, son. I thought you had it, but I was wrong. You tried. You gave it your best. Now that I'm here, let me show. No, we have no record of the staff being moved. Elisha gave Gehazi the right to lay the authority he had been given. God gives us the right and the privilege to carry His staff and His authority and lay it on the face of the commission we've been given. And as we do that, it paves the way for Him to lay Himself on the face. Thank you, Tom. It gives Him... Our obedience allows the master come in His fullness. I think there are a lot of times we limit the fullness of God from being laid on the very, not just the face, but the entirety of the call and the need, because we're lacking in our obedience and our willingness to go and do and not compare and not say, I've tried and failed, so let me try a different way. The way that's always successful is the way of obedience to what God has called you to do. Now, I got to finish. When the presence of the Master comes, all things become possible. And I like this part. I'm going to stop with this. When the child comes back to life, guess who gets to inform the mama?
Yeah.
The faithful servant. He says, hey, Gehazi, do me a favor. Go and tell mama her boy's back. go and tell Mama her boy's back. Friends, we have the privilege of partnering with the God of the universe and seeing His kingdom advanced. And He has blessed us in ways that we can't even imagine. And He allows us the opportunity to partner with Him in seeing some great things happen. And we get it. The same woman that He tried to push away from the Master, the same woman that He was having some issue with, God says, I want you to go and tell her now. Her son's back. You get to enjoy the reaction. God says, I'm not looking to come in and be all about high-fiving and all that. I'm glorified. I know that. But I'm going to give you an opportunity to experience the joy of sharing the good things I have done. When the servant is faithful, it paves the way for the master. Amen?